Praise God. Nothing too deep tonight. I was settling down to sleep a few nights ago now, and I've got a little pad at the side, on my bedside, and I don't think I've ever written anything in it. But anyway, as I was settling down, a word came into my mind, and then another word, just single words, and I thought, oh, I better write this down, because by the time I wake up, I'll forget it anyway. So the two words were focus and establish. So when I came to look at them, I found that the word focus isn't in the Bible. Believe it or not, it's not in the Bible. But I like to get involved with the words sometimes and sort of just think about them. And as I got thinking about focus, I actually found it is in the Bible, but not as a word focus. And we've got to just look at these. But this word focus is an interesting one, because we all do it. We all lose it. We all get the wrong focus. And, you know, sometimes if you think about those with addictions, yeah, their focus is entirely on one thing. And we've seen it when we were involved with Teen Challenge. Their focus is in one thing, and that's the next fix. And it rules everything. It means they'll lie, they'll steal, they'll tell you what they think you want to hear and everything. But they're after that next fix. So focus is something that we all do. We're probably not conscious of it, and sometimes our focus can change. We can be off our guard and suddenly our focus is drawn to something else. So we're just going to look at the word focus and the word, I thought, establish. I thought, oh yeah, focus is not in, but establish must be in. Establish must be similar to what focus is, but it is slightly different. But you know, Paul in the New Testament, he had battles about focusing, and he explained it. It's quite an interesting way. And in Romans, he talks about this dilemma that he's got. Romans chapter 15, and he says, I'm not practicing the things that I would like to do, but I'm doing the very things I hate. So his focus is getting dragged into things. So we're not immune from our focus changing at different times. And he had the same battle. He managed to pen it down and explain it in some way. And I say he's not using the word focus, but it's where he wanted to be. That's what his focus, where he wanted to be. Where he was finding his focus was actually on where he didn't want to be. And so we can be sometimes like that. But I started looking at this word focus, and I said, it's not in the Bible. So I thought, well, what is focus in the Bible? I know you can't read the Bible without being drawn into the fact that we need to focus. Well, there's a few words I came across while I was looking and thinking. One, obviously, is trust. You know, we trust, we focus on something, we trust. When you look at what that means, it's like confidence and hope is wrapped up in trust. Lean is another word. Lean, incline and rest. Your focus is in that particular direction. This is a good one, rely on. And that's hardly mentioned in the Bible, rely on. And I remember that I've looked in the Word of God before, and it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe on, like rely on. And some versions, are where on is shown, the new versions change it to in. I can't remember specific some of the instances, but it's like, believe on isn't grammatically correct. We need to make it believe in. It has a different meaning. Believe on is something like rely on. You're putting your belief on something. In this case, on the Lord. And when you look at the meaning of rely on, it means depend or trust on something. Another word for focus is lead. That's about directing and guiding. You want the Lord to lead you. We have to focus on where He's wanting to take you. So leading and guiding are wrapped up in the same words, the same meaning. And another one is way. Be established in all your ways. I've got one or two references I'll come up with on that, but way is the manner or the path that we're taking. So all these definitions are wrapped up around that word focus. And while the word itself may not be in the Bible, the very meaning of focus is. But it's caught up in these other words. Trust, lean, rely on, lead, guide, and ways. The other word, establish, I found that sort of means like confirm or founded on something. And I thought that I'd have a direct comparison to the word focus, because focus wasn't in. But I said that went down another line. But establish is to do with direction. Talk about being firmly established. Psalms and Proverbs are good at finding some of these meanings. Psalm 119, verse 5, it says, oh, that my ways may be established to keep thy statutes. Or that my, you might say, that my focus may be established to keep thy statutes. So it's getting the words that are down there and finding out in our own hearts and minds what is being said, possibly in language that we're more familiar with. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, talking about established, it says, the heart is established by grace. Now, if you look in my Bible, it's actually changed that word to a heart strengthened by grace. But it's actually our hearts are established by grace. This is again, is down, coming back to focus in a way that we lose our attention in life at various times and in various situations. And God's continually nudging us back to get the right focus. He does it very gently in a lot of ways. See, there's a warning in Romans chapter 10, verse 3. It talks about seeking to establish their own righteousness, they do not subject themselves to God. So this is another word in the mix now. This is about submission. Focus can often mean submission. Because when we go off at a tangent, it's usually a selfish tangent. God's got us lined up. He says, narrow is the road. Broad is the way, but narrow is the road. And he wants us to stay on that road. And we'll go off at a tangent and we'll focus on something else. And we all do it. We all do it. We're not immune to having our attention swayed and even how we feel change. Another thing about getting established, it's talking about holding fast onto something. When you're established, you hold on to something. You're in the, like, if you're when you're established in your job, you've sort of sussed it out and you're in there and you've got a firm hold on the job. So it's part of it is holding fast. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, it says, hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. So establishing our focus, it really does connect. It's getting in that way that we can see what our focus should be. Now, we don't necessarily just have one focus. We can have a distant focus on things far off into the future, and we can have a focus on very close things that are the daily task, the daily responsibilities. But often the things of the daily responsibilities are guided by the long focus. When we see the things that we need to do and to be in the nearness, it all comes in the mix of having that long focus. This is how God's saying, you know, forget about yesterday. Yesterday is gone. And look to the future, like Paul said about the high calling of God, having our focus set on that future. So when I got these words, I sort of, without sort of looking, I thought, yeah, I need to be focused, and I need to be focused on the right thing. And although focused as a word is not in the Bible, it's a key element. It's a key element in our faith. Because when we falter or go astray or fall or give up or whatever else, we have to re-establish focus. Before we can do anything else, we have to re-establish our focus and get our eyes back on the way that we should be. See, when I said on Psalm 119, in all your ways, or in all your focus, be established to keep thy statutes. Now, in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. He's got us looking, focusing on him. Yeah, because he is the way. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, I think it is, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And Hebrews 10, verse 20, it says, a new and living way. He's talking about the way. I think the believers, first off, were known as the way. We only find our way on focusing on the path. You know, if I go out walking, if I didn't focus on where I was going, I'd get lost. Now, quite often before I go, if I'm going hiking or walking somewhere that I'm not used to, I'll quite possibly look at the map. I've done this when I take the car down to Carlton for service, and it's a lovely area to hike round. And what I don't like to do is to hike one way and come back the same way. I like to do a circuit, and the best way of finding a circuit that you can do is to look at the map. Because that shows where the paths are, and that shows how you can link up and do that circuit. So planning is important when we focus on where we should be and where we're going, because if you're focusing on a destination, you've also got to focus on the best way of getting there. Whether it's your life's challenges, or whether it's just the progression through the domestic situations of the day. It's having that focus that takes us to the next step, to the next step, to the next step. And always underlying that is the main focus of where we're heading, where our final destination is. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." Focusing on what God wants flows to have in our heart, the centre of our being. What does God really want us to have in our heart? And we talked a bit earlier, you know, about hatred drying up the bones. It is self-destructive. He wants us to trust the God of love with all our heart, and not to have our own intellect getting in the way. Because our understanding, what does it do? It takes us on a tangent. It focuses sometimes on wrong things, because our emotions, our selfish ways can affect the path that we take. It says, "In all your ways, acknowledge him." Now, I've looked at that word acknowledge in the past, and I discovered that acknowledge means know. K-N-O-W, know. In all your ways, know him. Because if we know him, we know, we'll learn to know what he wants from us. But it says we know him. Because if we do know him, it says he will make our paths straight. He'll, you know, like the Romans renowned for doing straight roads. Watling Street and Ermine Street and various other, Fossway, I think. All these were Roman roads that went in a straight direction, because the Romans found that if you do a straight line, you get there quicker. We have a history in this nation of walking round trees, along streams and up and round and down. So, and then we ended up tarmac, you know. So we've got, I mean, I remember as a child, we'd go on holiday. So we lived on Inglethorpe, A635 runs from Doncaster Barnsley. When it gets through Goldthorpe, heading towards Barnsley, unlike the way from Doncaster to Goldthorpe, which is reasonably straight, from Goldthorpe to Barnsley, it wends all over the place. It's not a straight road. But I remember as a little child, they came and altered that road. This was in the days when there were a lot of narrow roads. I am of the senior part of the age group. And I remember them straightening the road. And suddenly it made a tremendous difference, because now, what were the bends in the road? Are lay-bys. And the road goes straight through. You'll still see evidence in different places of the old road still exists, but it became a lay-by because it was a bend and they took the bend down. In Psalm 27 verse 11 it says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path." Now I tried to just sort of pray, see that lead me in a level path. And I said, it's help me focus on what I need to focus on. Because I can soon lose my concentration getting involved with just what's happening at the moment. And it'll grab my attention and my focus is gone. But he's saying, it says, lead me in a level path. Keep me on that straight path. You know, there's so many things can pull us sideways. So many situations that will suddenly grab at our attention. And in a way, it's important that things are able to get our attention, because we're not immune to the facts of living. It's part of life that things arise, things crop up that we don't expect that we have to be involved in. But we've got to stay on that level path, that straight path, even though these things are coming at us and affecting us. It's the principle of trusting in the Lord with all our heart, even in the situations that we find ourselves in. Now, of Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it's a bit of a warning, this. It says, as he thinks within himself, so he is. If your focus is wrong, your inside will be wrong. And no matter how religious you try to be, the heart tells the true picture. So this is God warning us through Proverbs. He says, as you think within yourself, so you are. So we need to think in line with what God thinks. And one of the ways we do that is get immersed in the Word of God. Not just learning the words, but finding out what things really mean. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26, it says, watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. If you focus on the path that you're taking and make sure it's the right path, then all your ways, all your focus will be established correctly. You're on the right things. I looked at the Living Bible for this one, that you'll watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. The Living Bible, The Message, I think it was. It says, watch your step and the road will stretch out smooth before you. That's a good one to carry, that, isn't it? Watch your step and the road will stretch out smooth before you. That's brilliant. Now, going back to this, you know, as he thinks within himself, so he is. You know, you are what you focus on. So, some questions. Do you focus on love or hate? Do you focus on joy or sadness? Do you focus on hope or fear? Because all those things are taking up your focus, and some will drag you down and others will lift you up. You've got to have a Jesus view. Now, Jesus had all sorts of pressures on him throughout his earthly ministry, and yet he never lost his joy, he never lost his love, and he never lost his hope. He had a tremendous message to give us. Apart from the price that he paid, he had such a tremendous message to bring to you and me. And it's a message of hope and love and joy. You know, it says, gifts of the Spirit? Faith, hope and love, but the greatest of these is love. And it is. It's God's love to us. Jesus' love to us. Hebrews chapter 6, 18 said, lay hold of the hope set before us. That lay hold of, that's focus. Focus on the hope set before us. We have a hope that, you know, we're involved with the daily tasks, but that hope's still there. We have pressures on us, that hope's still there. There's times when we might be ill, but that hope's still there. There might be times when we're tempted to go astray, and that hope's still there. But it's reminding us to get our focus right, to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. And just want to finish, it's Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Just to reword that a bit, it says, forget the past and focus on the target, the future. Forget the past, focus on the target, on the future. You know, the Word of God is wrapped up for us as a package. And I know sometimes we have to sort of unravel things a little bit, but focus is so high in there. It's not, although the word focus isn't in there, it is. And it's in everything. It's reminding us to focus, reminding us to stay established in Him. Whatever pressures have come, whatever failures we've gone through, God still says for us to focus and to trust Him and get established. Be established. Hold fast. Hold fast to the faith. Paul often reminded us of that in so many instances. He had battles of his own, and thankfully he had to actually pen it and write it down in such a way that we can grasp hold of it. And it's just brilliant. So that just came from the two words that came to me one night. And it's very rare that when I'm going to sleep that I'll pray, but finding words coming to me like that. Probably if I had a written it down, I would have thought it in the morning, oh, what was it? I remember. I can't remember now. but I wrote it down. I encourage you, just put a bit of a notepad or something at the side of your bed, because you never know that you might just have that something comes from God just to nudge you. And it might be personal for you, it might be something to share, but I'm just glad I wrote it down. And I must admit, I like to just delve into the words of some of these. I think when you start unwrapping things, it's surprising what you can find. Because we live in a world, particularly in this nation at the moment, where people's focus are way off beam. You know, there's some lovely, beautiful people, and they're not necessarily Christians. But there's the other side of the coin where people have such an awful agenda. But I'll tell you this, the love of God is stronger than any malefactor, any hate. You know, God's love is over all. And for you and me, whatever we're going through, whatever we face, God is over all. Yes. Amen.